Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
In the big eight, in marital fulfillment, accept your spouse fully. That's the first thing in the eight. Second thing, communicate with grace. Third thing, integrate into each other. You see, marriage is about sharing life together. Somebody say, we share life. And it's about taking a journey of destiny as one. That's marriage. You share life and you take a journey as one. It is difficult for two to be one and each of them operating in independence mood. It's not possible. Matthew chapter 19, 4-6. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And say, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. And in case you didn't understand, it continued, wherefore there are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So when we are talking about being one flesh, it doesn't mean that we lose our individuality. It means we integrate our lives to fit into each other's own. Integration is that you willingly bring me into your family. You willingly bring me into your business, into your ministry, into your career, into your goals, into your plans, into your circle of friends, into your hobbies. That's what it means to integrate. That when I married you, you didn't purchase me like an object and then keep me in the house and continue your life and then command me to be burning children for you. And anytime you need to service yourself, I come up. That's not what marriage is all about. I am not something you purchase and put in the shelf. We must integrate our lives. I am not an appendage. I am part of your life. This is what covenant means in marriage. And that's why the world doesn't do well in marriage. That's why the church should be a model of what works in marriage. Because we are prayed by covenant or prayed by contract. And many people that are young in the church today are listening to social media. Suddenly, their mind is on contract mode and not on covenant mode. So you marry and both of you are hiding from one another, living your whole lives. No. Integration is the only thing that can build intimacy. I like the way a man described intimacy. I think T.D. Jakes many years ago. He said intimacy means into me, see. See into me. That's what intimacy means. You are seeing into me so that both of you are sharing lives. When you integrate, it defeats aloneness. Somebody say aloneness. You know, when God says it's not good that the man should be alone, I'm sure you know that the word alone is a combination of two words. All and one. All one. You take away one L and join them together. That's what alone. It's two English words. All one. And then they put it together. It's not good for the man to be all one. So nobody wants you to be alone. And there are many people that are married and they are alone. Emotionally alone. Financially alone. The man just a worker. The wife just a worker. Without integration, you will live your whole life with a stranger. The husband is a stranger. The wife is a stranger. I told you a story. True story. A woman was quarreling with the husband. And the husband said, pack out. She said she's not packing out because she paid for half of the building. There's a quarreling. The man insisted she must pack out. That the house was registered his name. He said, I built this house. The quarrel. And then she was the one also that furnished the whole place. So she went and brought vehicles to park the things in the house. Packed and packed on the chairs in the parlor. She has receipt. Now she buy them. The husband started the building and then his money dried up. And then she finished the building and then bought all the things and furnished. She packed everything. When the man saw the house empty, he said, no, you're not packing. You're not going. So you're not going anywhere. When I was talking with that woman, she told me, he said, Pastor, what he didn't know was that all the vehicles that came to pack everything are my vehicle. From the time they started quarreling, anything she buys, she doesn't tell him. How can you be like that? That's nonsense. But that's the word out there tells you. I told her, I said, no. Now that you are born again, that has to change. Oh, some of you are buying all kinds of things. You know, there are some men that were praising a young man the other day. who put everything in his mother's account. And they say he's a very intelligent young man. That is nonsense. You don't follow something evil. You say, if that girl is a gold digger, that girl is a gold digger. Well, if the girl is a gold digger, what was he looking for in her? How did he find her? We should begin to live as Christians, not as the world. Without integration, our marital goals cannot be achieved. Because you can't do big things except you have help. And the reason you are getting a wife is to find help. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will get him a helper suitable. Psalm 45 verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline, Psalm 45 verse 10, thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. The Bible says, man, leave your father and mother, and say, woman, forget your own people and your father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. He's not talking about the Almighty God. He's talking about your husband. So if I leave father and mother, you too, come out from house, come. When my mom was still alive, and then my junior sister was in the house, and then she misbehaved toward my wife. She would just do her own thing, go to the kitchen, do all of that. We are just married newly then. And I rebuked her, and I told her to get out of my house. And she went and reported to my mother, and my mother summoned me. She summoned me. It's like I appeared before the panel, and sisters and brothers are sitting down there to confront you on your iniquity. So they started, and they talk. When they finished talking, I turned, I said, Mama, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and be mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I said, Mama, what you didn't understand is, according to covenant, you are extended family. This one's extended family. This one is my family now. All of you here have to choose whether you are traditional people or Bible people. So your prayers are wasted until the Bible becomes your life. So you can't hold the woman ransom. Can't hold the man ransom. No. You and her are one. Somebody shout one.
One.
You see, when you hear the Bible talk about submission, the Bible concept of submission is first integration. First integration. That's why the Bible begins in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Before it says, wives, submit to your husband. It starts with both of you submit. That means integrate. Integrate into one another. Let it be clear that both of you are in this mission as one. Somebody shout, we are one. Submission is simply that you submerge your mission in our commission. So both of us have a commission. You submerge your own mission in our commission. That's submission. Submerge. That was removed. So you have sub and then commission. You take mission to a submission. That's how it happens. Amos 3 verse 3. Can two walk together? Except they're integrated. Except they're going together. What gives your wife or your husband the sense of a stakeholder in the marriage? The sense of a partner? The sense of somebody that has something at stake? Is that you are integrated. Not that you keep the person at arm's length. And all the person's job is simply, how can I be providing money as a woman? I'm paying for this. And so many things are going on in your life. I don't know. I won't continue paying. Your life cannot be insulated from your husband's. A man also, the same thing. Don't ask me to be born in Peking and taking care of Peking. And all the Peking are asking you, answering your name. And I'm answering your name. And I don't know you. There's nothing, I don't know your business, I don't know your property, I don't know your anything. Even your next of kin is not me. I'm just hanging around as an appendage. But no, we're going to negotiate them. There has to be a renegotiation of this deal. You are cheating me. I will go to the court of heaven. And there's a way we settle things there. When God grab you, even if you shout on bar, he not going to leave you. Integration means planning and achieving objectives with ease. You plan together. You achieve your objectives with ease. That's what integration means. And you know, when two persons are integrated, third parties find it difficult to come in. There's a way you can't spend if your finances are linked. Your journey up and down, up and down, up and down. You can't just be frivolous. Because one way or another, your wife will find this. Your husband will find this. You can't do that. So it has a way of guarding your steps and ordering your life and making your home succeed. Listen to me. One of the things that makes your home work is eliminate the things that will tempt you to mess it up. Take those things out of the place. And then you see yourself flying. You see your home working. If all your properties are registered in you and your wife's name, you won't be thinking of a second wife. In the name of the Lord, I cancel the spirit of polygamy now. Why don't people like to integrate? Why is it a battle for many of them? You see, for many people, marriage is not a covenant. It's just a transaction. Have you had people talking before? They say blood is thicker than water. What are you calling water? What do you mean by blood is thicker than water? Do you actually understand what you're getting into? Listen, there's a court you enter into and you sign a covenant with that court. If that court asks you to bring your mother doesn't matter. You will take your mother and hand over because you know that covenant ranks higher than that blood in your house. You need to understand the power of covenants. A marriage is not a transaction, it's a covenant. Stop looking at, you know, the man that's looking at the marriage certificate to look at for expiry date. There's no expiry date. It's the two shall become one flesh. He said, oh, if you don't like it, pack out. Bro, there's no packing out. We are in this thing together. Until death. Stop this nonsense of blood is thicker than water. Your brothers and sisters are part of your family. We agree. You see, those ones, you didn't choose them. This one you chose. Those ones, you didn't have a choice. This one, you made a choice. God imposed those ones on you, so he won't bother you about them. But this one, he will hold you responsible. It was your willful choice. That's why people say, why are you saying there shall be no divorce? Because you saw billions of people and chose one. You don't enter. Look at all the women running up and down. They say, no, woman should not submit to man. Woman should not submit to man. Nobody said women should submit to man. There's no Bible verse that asks woman to submit to man. No. Man and woman, we are equal. But in marriage, among God, the 7 billion on earth, you chose one to submit to. Among all the men. He didn't say submit to me. He said submit to your own husband. And you were the one who pointed at him and said, you, I consider you worthy to submit. So you better submit. He said, oh, I can't submit to man. We didn't ask you to submit to all men. That one you chose. One woman said to the husband, he said, I noticed that every time all your decisions are wrong, you keep making mistakes. And the man thought about it. He said, it's true. And maybe he made a mistake. Did I choose you? How can all his decisions be wrong? And yet he made the decision for you. You're one of the wrong decisions. Why don't people integrate? Another reason people don't integrate is that many grew up with a mindset of marital domination. Some men grew up with a mindset of marital domination. As far as they're concerned, anybody marry, sit her down and tell her to submit. If she doesn't, deal with her. Do you notice that in Nigeria, when you are asking men, read any book on marriage, they don't. It's girls that read books on marriage. It's girls that take notes. You know why? Because they tell the men, girls are plenty. And they're desperate. Just walk out for street. You go see one, we go follow you, go home. You don't need to change. But one bad thing about that mentality is this. Brothers and sisters. You see, I am allergic to mosquito. You know, there are people that when they're lying on the bed, there can be 10 mosquitoes in the house. And they're sleeping soundly. Not me. The moment I hear, if you marry a mosquito, you can't sleep. Just marry wrong. You will never find rest. Every day, something will happen to spoil your day. That's what it means when you have that mentality. Change your thinking. And you see your life begin to blossom. Mentality of marital domination. And there are some women who their papa treat their mother bad. And they vow to themselves, no man will mistreat me. No. I go show man. I'm a boy empty. And they came into the marriage very ready, very ready, very ready. You talk one, they talk their own. They have their strategy to discipline you. They dig in, they're aggressive from day one. They want to dominate the marriage. They want the man to submit. Sister, all you're going to find is a broken home. I've never known a lady who has made up her mind that men are bad who succeeded in a marriage. You must change your mentality. Because see, let me tell you this. Your attitude sometimes reflects your mindset without your knowing. It just creates the rejection, creates the problem. Please, please, please. Don't go to marriage thinking of domination. Think of integration. Think of working together. Think of sharing life together. And then the third reason people don't submit is that some people are looking for perfection before submission. Excuse me, there's no perfect human being now. There is none. And if you are looking for the ideal wife, are you the ideal husband? You have put all your criteria, Okay, if I put all my own, will you meet all my own? So all the things you listed must be fulfilled. What of my own? So I will manage you and you can't manage me. Say what it happened. Both of us will have to manage each other. Brothers and sisters, every human being has flaws, has imperfection. The only reason you didn't see is that you have not come close. You know, there are some ladies, when you see their face like this, it's looking perfect until they get home and they remove all of these things. And then the real face appear. Brothers and sisters, some people that their face is looking somehow. It's multicolor. There's a mixture of colors. Don't look at all of that. Everybody has flaws. Everybody has weaknesses. That's why when you are cutting, I've told you there are things that you call deal breakers, standards, preferences, and expectations. When you look at things, the ones that are deal breakers, the moment you notice it, walk away. Don't discuss. Don't negotiate. Don't ask the person to change. Don't pray about it. If the moment you see something you call a deal breaker, something you can't live with, walk away. Then after that is the standards. Standards, you can negotiate them. After that is the preferences. Preferences also, you can reduce or go up, depending. Expectations are just nonsense. I want that when I'm wedding, that we should go to Dubai for shopping. Poo, I don't get money. Those words are nothing. But you need to understand, anytime you're with somebody and you have negotiated and it's not a deal breaker, enter into the marriage and then handle it well. Relate with the person rightly and you see the home blossom. So don't move all around and then you are every day, you are quarreling and fighting and looking for perfection and then comparing your spouse with other people. Celebrate your own. Somebody give the Lord a clap. And then finally, people that have negative secrets find integration impossible. When you have all kinds of secrets you want to keep, you can't integrate. Everybody that wants to live a wayward, stupid, immoral, ungodly life finds it difficult to integrate. You're a Christian now. You used to be an unbeliever. You used to be in the world. Now is the time for you to settle down and be a child of God. So why are you trying to make allowance for nonsense? So you can get up in the house. And there's one man. He said to me some time ago before he got delivered. He's a pastor. Anytime they pay me salary, I come back intentional and quarrel. He said, when I'm coming, I'm thinking of how to stir up the quarrel. Because if I stir up the quarrel for at least 3 weeks, he won't be able to. I will keep the anger. Every time she comes, I get angry. I won't forgive until the money is gone. It's just a strategy. And some women do it too. The man they collect the salary, they come back, they make trouble. And the man can't approach them until the salary is gone. You come now, you say, the money is winning. What do you do? First thing to do to integrate, fix your faith in your spouse and fix your faith in your marriage. Settle the fact that I believe in this person and this is for life. Start with that. This is not tentative. This is not something we are playing. I will marry you for life. It's not if it works, we continue. If it doesn't work, no. This is settled. Now, if you are having some union and integration fears, discuss your union and integration fears. Talk about it. Look at some things that bother me. Look at some things I need to talk about. Discuss that so you can see the way forward. And then both of you be clear about your family vision and priorities. So you can integrate in that. We are buying this property. We are setting this. We are doing this and all of that. Now, some women find it difficult to submit to some vision. Husband, explain what the vision is all about. After I finished talking with my wife, she sent me a mail. He said, thank you for doing this and doing this and for doing this in our family. Now, I was happy she did that. The truth is simply this. It's a vision you kept. You get to a point where you did this and this. At that time, it was very challenging. But I stayed the course. And today is help the family. Let it be clear that you have vision and priorities that are set from onset in your family to make sure that your future of your family and your children is secure. And bring your spouse into every detail of your life. Bring the person into every detail. Fourth thing, open your hand generously. It is very difficult to share life with a miser. A miser is miserable and distributes misery. Love is proven by giving. Somebody say giving. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he danced. For God so loved the world that he preached. For God so loved the world that he did what?
He
gave. So love is proven in giving. Anybody that loves you ardently does not love you. So if you are going to have a beautiful home, open your hand generously. I told you, when somebody wants to measure temperature, they get thermometer. When you want to measure love, you get heartometer. Heartometer measures sacrifice. Sacrifice is what heartometer uses to reflect love. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. He said, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace. Also, he's talking about the giving grace. Look at the next verse. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity. So giving is what is used to prove the sincerity of love. Somebody say sincerity. There are men and women who don't understand how love works. So as far as they're concerned, they just hang around church and just do any kind of thing and go back home. No sincerity of love. I say to you today, in the name that's above every name, your home will work. People don't give because they have much. They give because they love much. In that same place we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it was talking about the Macedonian church. The Bible said they had deep poverty, but they gave. Somebody said they gave.
They gave.
And that's what happens in relationship. In your marriage, if there is no giving, there is no love. And I'm sure you know it takes finance to light up romance. Proverbs 19 verse 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Anybody that gives gifts doesn't miss out on love. Be a giver. And in your marriage, don't compare yourself with rich people. You can't give what they can give, but you can give at your level. Let your family see that at the level where you are now, you are a giver. Then when the level improves, you can give more. Whether it's in their marriage, I will never forget. We're still living in that two-bedroom house. And then one day I came out, and I saw somebody. I wanted to sell the car, a Honda Accord. I had a little money, and I looked at the car. Of course, I know I couldn't afford it. I was talking with him and all of that. He said, Pastor, take this car. I said, I don't have the money. He said, how much do you have? I told him the amount I have and all of that. But I don't really need the car. He said, I really don't want to do anything with the car. Just take it. Give me the money. So I just thought about it. While he was talking to me, I said, what am I taking this car for? I wanted to say no. I remembered. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law. Oh, at that time, they didn't have a car. My wife wasn't there. I just said, okay, let me buy the car for them. I bought the car. I came back to the house. Why did you buy the car? I said, I bought it for your parents. He said, why? I said, because I love you. I bought it for them. My brothers and sisters, you see, thinking about your spouse, thinking about the family, thinking about your own, thinking about somebody, it makes the difference. If you are not a giving person, your home will keep suffering. All of this ardent hand, myself, 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 myself. That's why your life is not moving forward. It's not Satan. I stretch my hand over you. From today, receive the help of God.
Amen.
Generosity is not by how much you gave, it's by how much you sacrificed. That's generosity. So why don't people give? The first reason they don't give is they don't value small sacrifices. People that don't value small sacrifices find it difficult to give. Let me explain what I mean. If when somebody gives you 50 naira, you don't value it. Anytime you want to bring 50 naira and give to somebody, you will think that if you give, you won't value. People that value small sacrifices are easy to make sacrifices, no matter how small. There are people that have no sense of value. I was talking with somebody a few days ago, and the person was talking about attention. When somebody takes out time and wants to talk to you and all of that, and then you don't really remember that the person is really making out the time to come and talk to you. And I said, no. The person should look at my schedule and also know that my giving that person 1 hour is a sacrifice. When you look at my schedule and look at how much I work, If I gave you 20 minutes, you should value it. That you travel from village and came doesn't make a difference. Am I talking to somebody here too? Because you know you have the time to come. But me, do I have the time? So both of us should understand the sacrifice each other made. When everybody should be able to value the other person's sacrifice. So value the other person. Small, small things. I don't need to give you ₦1,000,000. I don't need to give you 500,000. I don't need to give you 10,000. That your wife is having a birthday. And all you did was buy an ice cream on your way home. It's a thoughtful action. What counts is first the thought. Now, another thing that makes people not to give is that some people have entitlement mentality. Now, I see that mostly with ladies. There are some ladies that believe that as long as they're in a relationship with you, that they are entitled for you to take care of them, to give to them, to do this, to do this. And because of that, they have settled that they are the receivers. So anything you are talking about doesn't concern them. Just open. No, sister. It's not an entitlement. It's sharing life together. But what you see is that many people have the entitlement mentality. And then for some men that are coerced into... That's why a lady should never coerce a man into marriage. When a woman coerces a man into marriage, the man comes with an entitlement mentality. Since you say I should marry you, I don't marry you. Now, take care of me. And that's where the problem comes. One time, a young lady in this church got married to a man. All I know is that she just wanted somebody that can answer husband. She didn't care whether he went to school, whether he has anything. She has a car. She can fend for herself. She just wanted somebody that will stand here and say, that's my husband. And then, wah, 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 within a few months, bam, they're on the altar. Finish the wedding. As they go back home, first duty, your car, change the name to my own. She called me. I said, don't change anything. I'm talking about within the first week of marriage. They have not done honeymoon. He wants the car and the land changed into his name. Brothers and sisters, all kinds of things. Well, to cut a long story short, I don't think that home lasted for 7 months. She ran away, literally ran away. Why? Because there was nothing there. I must marry. They can't communicate. Their level of thinking is different. Respect yourself enough not to get into that kind of nonsense. So when people have that sense of entitlement, they don't give. They just keep taking. The third reason some people don't give is because others have been prioritized above their marriage. Their extended family is higher than their marriage. Sometimes even their girlfriends and boyfriends are higher than their marriage. They have all kinds of things that are taking their time and taking their money. You come into a house. A man has a wife and children. His sister's children are not paid the school fees. He will pay their school fees first. Before his own wife and children. The mother calls him and says, they're fighting for land in a village. He will close the account and send to the mother. Why are you doing that? Take care of your family first. Now, ladies, please listen to me. Any one of you that is busy resisting your husband who is doing that will only cause it to be worse. If he's doing that, calm down, pray about it, and trust the Lord through counseling for his eyes to open. But the moment you start fighting it, he feels like you're fighting his family. And there become a gap between you and him. And communication will die. So that fight, you can't win it. The reason you can't win it is because there are many attachments people have to their family before they met you that you don't understand. You don't know the sacrifices they make to take him to where he is. So when you're about to jump in and take a battle because they married you into the house, understand that the attachments were there before you. So don't hear me now and say, no, my husband cannot do that. How can he pay this? No, calm down. That sister she's paying may be the one whose husband paid his fees in school. I like to balance things so you can see the two perspectives. But for the man, don't do that. Take care of your family. The fourth reason people don't give is unresolved hurts and quiet frustration has reduced the commitment in the home. Some marriages, there are unresolved hurts. The man is angry. The wife is angry. So their commitment level to one another has reduced. So to give is like taking blood from the person. Anytime there is crisis in the marriage, giving reduces. Is that true? Yes, sir. That's why if you want generosity to multiply in your home, don't allow quiet frustration to build. Let there be a flow of communication. Now, how do you become generous in your marriage? This first point is extremely important. If you miss it, every other time I'm saying it will not work. If you are going to be generous in your marriage, accept the demands of marriage as a privilege. Accept the demands of marriage as a privilege, not a burden. My home is not a burden. My children's school fees is not a burden. My house rent is not a burden. Providing for my family is a privilege, not a burden. Accept the privilege and enjoy it. Do it and go over and above. Surprise your children. Show them love. Show them commitment. Surprise your spouse. Listen, I'm not saying it because now I have a little money. I'm saying that they can testify when we had nothing, I was doing it. When we got our first car, at that time we finished service. We don't have much to do. Do you know what I do? I put my wife and my children in the car and we start driving. We'll drive from here, drive to Transamadi, drive. There's no way we're going to. We get here, we park and buy ice cream. We get here, we park and buy something. We are eating in the car, we are talking, and because it's not now we do five services. Then it was only one. Just those small journeys are things that your children even remember. So don't just be acting as if it is a big thing. No, it's not a big thing. So open your hand. Accept the demands as a privilege, not a burden. Secondly, refuse to allow your home carry the atmosphere of scarcity. All of this, I know get. After some time, your home will carry the atmosphere of scarcity. You're always angry about releasing money. After some time, your home will carry the atmosphere of scarcity. Stop all of this Aradite hand thing. You can't live your life like that. Do the best you can and make up the rest with attitude and service. That's how to be generous. Do the best you can and make up the rest with attitude and service. There are some men that say, I don't have money. I understand you lost your job. I understand you don't have money. But do the best you can. If all you can bring is 10,000, bring the 10,000 and then make up the rest with good attitude and service. So you are the man of the house. You can't bring money to pay the school fees and yet you have a nasty voice. And you can't cook, you can't clean, you can't do anything because you are the man. Which man? Do the best you can and make up the rest with what? Attitude. Attitude of gratitude. Telling your wife, thank you for assisting. If your wife paid the school fees or helped to make up the rent, tell her, honey, your kind is rare. Talk her up. Don't act as if you are entitled. Is it not my wife? Is it not my money? It's not your money, bro. If it's your money, it should be in your pocket. Serve. And finally, use little surprises and extravagant moments to make family memories. Use little surprises and also use extravagant moments. Allow those little surprises. There are some little surprises you do. You are traveling on the road. You went to Lagos. You are coming back with a bus. As a passing vehicle stop, all your friends are buying snails, planted, yam. I'm buying potato. I'm packing in the car. You sit down like chairman in the car. I told you the other time, when I decided to travel for my wife's birthday, I didn't tell her. None of my staff that talks to her knew. None of her friends knew. I didn't tell her mother. I just wanted to surprise her. In the UK, I just told my daughter, as I come to the train station, I'm not landing with flight. I'm going to land in London and then come with train. Meet me at the train station. I came in very late. And then her birthday is the next day. And we showed up in the house, rang the bell after midnight. And then suddenly she saw her husband left Nigeria, traveled down to come to give her a surprise birthday. What matters? Sometimes the extravagant moments. And those moments count. Try and do that.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.